Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Role Playing Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan. I'm your host tonight. Matthew is otherwise occupied, but I've got a special guest with me tonight, Adam Bradford, the founder of D&D Beyond, former chief development officer at Demiplane, and the founder of Dreaming Phoenix. We're going to be talking about Free League Unbound. Adam, thanks for joining me today.
Appreciate you having me. Yeah, and that chief development officer, what a wonderfully made up title.
Coding guy.
Yeah.
We go with that. But thanks for I saw you at the Free League showcase at Gen Con talking about this guy here, Invincible.
Oh yeah.
I'm a huge fan of superhero games. So I one thing I didn't mention in your resume there, Adam designed this, designed Invincible. I'm a little blurry there, but you get the point. I've been playing superhero games since Champions in the 80s. Yeah. I can't resist a superhero game, and anybody who's watched this channel knows I'm a bit of a Free League fan, so I could not pass this up. I did try to convert one of my characters over to this yesterday, and it was not an unpleasant experience. So far, so good.
Not an unpleasant experience. Such a glowing review. I love it. Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been talking a lot. So Adam, why don't you give the folks a little bit of your background? I kind of read off your resume a bit, but why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Adam Bradford, and I was born on a cold. We won't go back that far. But I went to school for religion and philosophy and sociology. So those are my degrees. I went into professional ministry right out of school and pretty quickly saw kind of an underbelly of organized religion that wasn't incredibly attractive to me. And so I basically decided at that point, like, hey, I'm not going to get paid for this. Like, I'm still going to, help people and, all this. And I've remained, highly committed to that for the rest of these days here. But just didn't want that to be holding my purse strings. And so I was like, how am I going to put food on the table, though? Because this is what my degree's in. This is what I'm going to do. And so I did what, many people leveraged those contacts. I went and got a job at a Fortune 500 company that was here in Huntsville, Alabama, which is the Rocket City is what this place is called. Yep. Big NASA presence. The company did defense and aerospace. My mom worked there. And so leveraged that connection. I started out there buying office supplies. So I revolutionized the company by being the first person to ever order them online because they were still ordering out of catalogs. And so they thought I was a wizard. So I ended up spending 10 years at that place. And I learned really just, I took on so many roles. Learned business just kind of top to bottom, like supply chain, corporate, all those things. And it really prepared me really well because that whole time since I was a teenager, got introduced to tabletop role-playing games, became my number one hobby. I played video games and all those things, but I've always, the first love has always been tabletop role-playing games. Started with West End Games, Star Wars, because I'm in the heart of the Bible Belt and D&D was frowned upon very much so with the Satanic Panic. Yep. So for whatever reason, using the Force is less magic than the occult. Star Wars was okay. So we started playing Star Wars and then picked up D&D like many people do, right after that. First experience with D&D was just like getting a hole in one the first time you go out and play golf because we were playing Dragonlance. And the DM was making us roll straight down the ability scores list. Good. Very first roll for strength, I got an 18.00. And so I just completely, lost my mind. Like everybody was jealous. Like, it was just the euphoria just was unmatched at the time. Right. And so I was just, hook, line and sinker. And so I played that paladin in Dragonlance for a while. And this is, just a little bit ahead of third edition. So third edition came out right when I was in college. And it was just perfect timing. So we played just so much third edition. I was working at a Books a Million at the time, and was just like reading the books, like, you know, when I was supposed to be working and everything. So, so yeah, it was, you know, fantastic. So been playing for a long time, was doing the job part, that putting food on the table thing. And then all of a sudden this video game company moves into my backyard. So Curse Incorporated, they used to run websites like MMO Champion for World of Warcraft, Hearthpwn for Hearthstone, like all these Blizzard games and that kind of stuff. Well, they moved from Silicon Valley into Huntsville for cost savings. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm kind of looking at myself in the mirror. And I'm like, should I go try to do something like more exciting than this other stuff that I'm doing? And called them up and basically said, hey, I want to work for you. They said, well, we don't really have any jobs. I'm like, I still want to talk to somebody. So I talked to somebody. They ended up making up a job for me or whatever. And so I started working at Curse. The second day I was there, they were saying, hey, Adblock is killing our business. Like, our business is going away. And I'm like, I'm so glad I've decided to make this career change and like come work with you now that you're telling me that Adblock is just. So they're like, we've got to get away from Adblock into direct user monetization, is the buzzword. And then they were like, oh, and by the way, video games are super crowded. We need to do something that's not a video game. And so my second day in the office, I'm like, have you heard of Dungeons and Dragons? You know? And, I was in an interview earlier today, actually, and I was talking about this, again, and I was like, people have no idea how hard what became D&D Beyond was to get off the ground, not with Wizards of the Coast or anything like that, just internally at Curse, because no one there knew anything about it. When I first started bringing it up, they couldn't see it. They didn't believe it could be successful. Had a vision for it, knew that it could, you know, I knew that the company had the expertise to help get that off the ground, you know, all those things. And so started a grassroots literal campaign, D&D campaign, with people that worked in there. And it just happened to be a back-end developer, front-end developer, designer, you know, all the pieces. And I ran a D&D game for them. Most, I think all of them but one had never played before. And it was probably the best game I had ever ran. And people were just completely eating it up. One of the people who is now my business partner, that's the other person working with me on Free League Unbound, he went out the next day and bought $300 worth of WizKids miniatures. And like he was just completely eaten up with it, right? And so we ran that campaign. It was Rise of Tiamat, or Horde of the Dragon Queen into Rise of Tiamat. And we ran that all the way through. And that ended up getting other allies very passionate about it, and they helped me convince the leadership at Curse that this was something we needed to do. And so we started putting some things together. Curse had a program where you could work on whatever you wanted to work on Fridays. Like the rest of the week you had to do everything, but every Friday you could work. And so the group of us started working on putting together a proof of concept on Fridays. We got to a sizzle reel pretty quickly, sent that to Wizards of the Coast just completely cold. Wizards of the Coast didn't have a clue who we were. We had worked with them a little bit on magic stuff in the past, but basically we sent it. It got to the right place. And then later, within an hour, I was getting a phone call. It was Liz Hsu, and she's still one of my favorites. She was running licensing for D&D at the time. And she gave up any leveraging position or anything that they had. She said, okay, what's the 3-minute elevator pitch? And knowing me, I'm sure it was 6 or 7 minutes, but basically got done with that. And then she completely said, Adam, I'll be honest with you, this is our holy grail. Like, can you fly out here next week? And so flew out there the next week, and then that ended up becoming D&D Beyond. So ran D&D Beyond for 4 or 5 years there. We had been acquired by Twitch and Amazon, and then by Fandom eventually. Actually acquired Cortex, the Cortex Prime ecosystem from Margaret Weiss while I was there. We had so many plans for that unfortunately came to a halt when everything hit the fan there. But, we were making a Masters of the Universe role-playing game. We did end up getting to make a Tales of Zadia Dragon Prince game. But
I remember that. Yeah.
We had John Wick. We were going to make a John Wick game that fell through. We were going to make an Arcane, like Riot League of Legends Arcane game that fell through. So many could have been's, right? But we were trying that. And then ultimately what ended up happening was, Fandom was, Wizards of the Coast started doing some of the things that, some of the foibles that they've made over the last, and I saw that well before the public, right? Okay. So I saw that, literally years before the public. And I really pushed back against that, as you can imagine, very, very strongly, when they informed us of their plans and everything else. And so basically, what ultimately ended up happening is D&D Beyond was more successful than it needed to be. Wizards of the Coast didn't really, they ended up wanting it all for themselves. Right. When that started happening, that's when a lot of the, miscues started to happen. It became a fairly hostile, relationship and partnership. And so I eventually removed myself from it because I knew that all that was going to accomplish was I was going to be incredibly upset for another couple of years until it played out. But then also I was probably going to get everybody there in a lot of trouble because I wasn't going to take any of it lying down. But anyway, so stepped out of that and went to Demiplane and saw how much of an impact something like D&D Beyond could have for a game. And so wanted to bring some of those nice things to other games. And so that's where Demiplane was walking down a different path with group finding and stuff. But then when I talked to the founders of Demiplane, I said, hey, I can go talk to Paizo. I can bring in, these other publishers that might want to do something like this. So that's the route we ended up going down. Really had a vision for that. Really looking forward to everything there. Was looking forward to doing a lot of free league things there. But then the way that businesses evolve, that business evolved into something that ended up being acquired by Roll20. And so it was again, one of those things where didn't get to see the plan and the vision come to fruition. I ended up, I was the chief development officer at SmiteWorks working on Fantasy Grounds. Okay. When I was talking to Doug Davison out there, that's a legacy, program that's been out there for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
They wanted some help with some, refreshing of some things. And so worked with them for a year and a half or so. I think made some really great strides there. In the back of my mind, though, that's also around the time that started working on Invincible. And okay. As Invincible started 5 years ago at Gen Con, with talking to Herrenstam about, I call him Herrenstam because my business partner is Thomas also. And okay. So I have to call them by their last names because they get confused. But basically with that, I was talking to him and said, hey, even at that point in time, I was like, you're becoming just my favorite publisher. It really was, even at that time, 5 years ago, if I'm playing a home game, it was a free league game. Right. And I was like, okay, like I really do like this. Like this hits the sweet spot for me. And so I was like, year zero superheroes. I think I've got some ideas. And he's like, oh, I would love to do a superhero game. And he was like, but we don't really have a great property in mind. And I'm like, ooh, I've got a really good property because Invincible, favorite comic series, not my favorite character. I want to clarify that. I always get that question. I have other characters that are my favorite, possibly like, Daredevil. Sorry, I've got stuff all around me. Daredevil's Love Beast from the X-Men, lots of other characters. But Invincible's my favorite series because unlike Marvel and DC and the others, there's not this endless retconning where the characters stay in the general same space. Because I get it. Like, I know that Spider-Man needs to be living in poverty. I get it. These are like essential, components to the character. I loved the idea with Invincible. And again, like lots of people don't understand this. It came out 20 years ago. So this is not just a show that just came out, couple of years ago. It came out 20 years ago. So at the time, this wasn't really happening, but it's like, we told a story from Mark Grayson being this just awkward teenager that just got his powers to spoiler in the future, you know, big spoilers in the future about what he becomes. And it's like that progression was such a breath of fresh air, this idea that it told this continuing story with a beginning, middle, and end across those 144 issues. And I collected it all along the way. I kept up with it, you know, with a lapse here or there when I was a poor college student, you know, but ultimately, you know, collected that book all the way through, really, really loved it, became my favorite series. And I knew that since that universe allowed for anything, and it wasn't as just incredibly lived in as Marvel and DC. Like there was room for newer characters. And it was always a problem for me running Star Wars with my groups because, of course, we loved it. But everybody was like, Luke and Leia and Han are the big heroes here. And don't forget about Chewie. Big heroes here, right? Whereas Invincible, sure, like Invincible is the big hero. But like there's just lots of room for these other stories to be told. And then again, with that progression mindset, it really fit for a role-playing game. And so I said, and at the time, Aaron Stamm had not heard. He was like, I'm familiar, but I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar. And I was like, it's great. So then separately, I had gone, after that, a year or two after that, I had gone to Skybound myself. And I was like, hey, listen, I think we need to make, a game. And I really do a hell of a slide deck. And it was funny because they were like, we really have no reason why we should even be entertaining this, but your deck is so good. Like, yeah, like, okay, yeah, we'll talk to you. And so we started talking about it a little bit. And then I re-engaged Tomas and said, hey, like, the Skybound, I think, is on board here. And then at that point in time, he's like, oh man, I've started watching the show. I went to read the comic. Like I love it. Like I'm on board. And I'm like, excellent. So we started, working on Invincible at that point in time. And of course, that was in development for, I guess year and a half, 2 years there, as we were, trying to get, all of that going. Both of us heavily inspired by the old Marvel TSR games, because like you, I love superhero games.
Yep.
And I've played all of them. I would say I've played all of them. There might be one or two out there that I'm not aware of, but I kind of doubt it because I'm on top of them. But I've played them all, and there has just never been anything. I'm not saying they haven't been good, but there's never been anything that made me feel the way that Face Rip and even Saga, like the card version, like those games, there was something about the way that I felt at the table. And of course that can just be nostalgia and everything else. But I think that they were on to something that maybe other games haven't been able to recapture. And part of that to me is the scope, because I always felt like it was appropriately scoped where I had powers that could really cover the needs of iconic characters, but I wasn't managing it like The Sims it wasn't getting to that level of simulation.
Right.
And so it just, to me, it really, those games really hit a sweet spot, with kind of their scoping, making them easier to run and all of that. And so if you've checked out Invincible, you see the TSR inspirations on its sleeve. We leaned into it. And honestly, it was even for a meta reason, because Invincible, the comic series itself, even things like The Boys are really popular these days.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis did a deconstruction of superheroes. Garth Ennis doesn't like superheroes. It is, if you look at anything he's made, he doesn't like superheroes, right? It seems like he hates them, right? And by the way, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He's made some compelling stuff, right? But Robert Kirkman wrote this deconstruction of superheroes and kind of subverting tropes, but he loves superheroes. And you can tell the difference in approach, right? And so for us, Skybound really positions Invincible. Even if you look at their materials on their website and stuff, it's going to say Invincible is a love letter to superhero comics of yesteryear. And Thomas and I, when we set out for Invincible, this RPG, we said, hey, we want to make a love letter to superhero RPGs of yesteryear in a similar way to what the Invincible series did. And so that's what we've set out to do. The response has been great to see out there. It's getting a ton of engagement, and good reception. People are playing it. We have so much planned for it. Like I've already turned in drafts for the next four products. Right. So it's like we're just going to keep rolling with new content kind of continuously and really, really excited about that. As I was working and I'm finally coming to the end here. As I was working with Heron Stom working on Invincible, it's like, okay, not only is this my favorite publisher from the game standpoint of what I'm playing, they have been incredible to work with. And after, honestly, some of the trauma that I've experienced in the rest of the industry with how horrible some of these publishers are to work with, it was a breath of fresh air. And so, thankfully I was in a position to say, like, okay, hey, I actually like working with you. I'm at a point in my life, I'm at an age where if I have the option to work on things I really love or really want to work on, Thankfully I can take those opportunities. And so then started bringing up like, hey, I think that with all of the just massive catalog of award-winning games that Free League that you have, it deserves premium, official digital support. And I said, and I've seen firsthand how much of a difference that makes if it is positioned in a first party way, like with D&D Beyond. Like it needs to be in the name. It needs to be your tool set. And so he told me, and I know he wouldn't mind me sharing this, but he basically said like, we've been approached from people wanting to do this many times in the past. We've said no, but it's you and we're going to say yes. And so because they knew that I could pull it off. And again, what is so wild with Free League Unbound that is so fun for us is I've talked about Thomas Opper, partner that was with me all the way back on D&D Beyond. It is just he and I, like it is the two of us. And Free League Unbound did not exist 4 months ago. And so where we already are in early access, there was nothing. And then it is there now. And we have a working platform. We are going to have character tools out well before the end of this year for at least one or two of the games. And so we are moving with a speed that because both of us are highly motivated individuals that can get a lot done in a short amount of time. What the two of us have accomplished right now with Free League Unbound, we at that point, it had taken about six developers, 8 months at DDB to get there, kind of first time doing some of it. Right. But then it took, 12 developers, 9 months at Demiplane to get there. And so we are just completely cranking this stuff out. We've got something new happening virtually on a daily basis now. It's been really exciting. It's the most excited I've been about anything that I've worked on since those very earliest days of getting DDB off the ground. And I think a lot of that has to do with how much I love Free League stuff.
I can barely tell that you're excited.
Yeah, very excited about it.
No, but by my count, I see like it looks like 19 different products or books that you have in there already. With a lot of the One Ring, which is probably one of the only Free League games I haven't played yet.
The One Ring. This is the first time that the One Ring has been available in this digital format.
Yeah, that's great.
And the One Ring is it has been highly, highly popular, as you might can imagine, already in early access. So, the One Ring will certainly get a lot of our attention here at the beginning. Because there are just so many fans that are waiting on that and have been waiting for a while. But we have four games, obviously Invincible. I can't tell you how happy it makes me to have it in this format, even for the next thing that I have to write and design. Mm. Having the rules not in a PDF is incredible. But then Coriolis, incredible game, beautiful game. Yeah, that's another thing that we're doing with Free League Unbound. Over the years, I have come to see, and again, the data really supports this. I remember D&D Beyond. This is a great story to kind of illustrate what I mean. D&D Beyond, Curse had an incredibly talented designer, a web designer, that was working on the team with us. I remember just butting heads with him so much. And eventually I relented because I'm like, okay, you feel very strongly about this. We're going to go your way. And he and I have talked about this many times in the years since. So I'm not really, talking behind his back here. But it's like he wanted the digital character sheet for DDB initially to really follow modern web principles. Lots of space between things to let the eye, like all these principles that make total sense on a web page. And I try to tell him, I'm like, no, that's not how these games are played. Like every inch of real estate you're trying to use, like you're trying to cram, it's different. And by the way, we can't make this look like something that is not a character sheet because people have been so used to this for decades. There's a reason that character sheets are the way they are. People have put a lot of thought into it. So went that route. The character sheet was not popular with D&D in the first place. So we underwent like a 6-month complete overhaul of that. And, what I used at the time is I said, I was using at the time, the new Mustangs were coming out. Where they were, Ford Mustangs, they looked like the old Mustangs, but they were super modern and powerful looking. And I was like, that's what this character sheet needs to feel like. It needs to be neo retro, or whatever here. Right. And so we did a huge overhaul of it. It became incredibly popular after that. And it really, set the standard with Free League Unbound. So much of this, and again, we don't have the character sheets yet, but it is trying to recapture and translate the just absolute beauty of Free League's production that they put into their books in digital form. Like things have to change going from format to format, but we want to retain the character and the flavor and the style and the vibe, essentially of everything that's going on. So with things like Coriolis, all those beautiful colors that you're going to see in the book, that is replicated in digital form here. And we are really committed to making sure that just, again, award-winning, top-tier production value and layout and art design and everything that Free League is putting into it, we're doing everything we can to make sure we maintain that flavor as it comes into this digital format.
So let's take a step back here. So for you, what do digital tools mean as a GM and player? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, they genuinely mean, convenience is the word that just always rises to the top when I get that question. Because I was playing third edition into fourth edition. I'm sitting here with Access databases trying to use VBA code back when I didn't know anything, to make my life easier, to make prep easier in between sessions, because I wanted to focus on the things that I enjoyed about the game, which was the actual interaction with players, while I was running it, being able to think about what my character was going to do on the next turn. All those things were the things I want to concentrate on. I don't want to be flipping pages. And again, by the way, there's nothing at all wrong with physical books. Like I can look over here to my left and you're going to see a massive bookcase of books. Like I've got all of the physical products. So digital tools, the best digital tools have nothing to do with replacing the physical products. They accentuate, they enhance, they make things more convenient. And very importantly, they are not video games. But I think before we started recording here, I was talking a little bit about that of, D&D Beyond very much so was not intended to be a video game. I think that's why something like Sigil maybe went too far and maybe failed. It's part of the reason it failed. But it's like that kind of thing. You want to use the best parts of video game technology, but not go all the way to video game. You want to use those things to then enhance the experience of connecting at the table, whether that's virtual or otherwise, like real tables, virtual tables, whatever, connecting at the table, telling stories with each other. That's what these games are about. And, for me, digital tools need to prop that up and just facilitate that and make that easier. And so I think that's the thing with Unbound. that we're really wanting to do. People are under the misconception, and I've corrected them all these years. D&D Beyond never at any point cannibalized physical sales. In fact, the data, I won't even say there was a correlation. I would say that there was a clear causation that was statistically significant. I've Lean Six Sigma Master Black Belt in my past right. too, right? yeah. All of those things, that data indicated that D&D Beyond propped up physical sales, not the other way around. Hmm. So again, with Free League here, Free League is still going to continue making the best physical products on the market. Their box sets, second to none. Like the price that they do them for, like all the things are incredible, right? I'm speaking, preaching to the choir here, right?
exactly, but, you are.
but that's the thing, is that all of that's going to continue. The Unbound is just intended for those who want that extra layer in their games, for them to be able to invite that to the table and for that to facilitate that and make that a little bit of a smoother experience.
So I'm going to hop onto that real quick, because I started playing Free League games probably around 6 years ago, fell in love, especially with Alien.
Oh, Alien.
And one of the criticisms, I've said this to Thomas and even Andrew Gaska, is that sometimes the cinematic adventures, because you have the encounters that can happen in a particular location-based encounters, and then you have your act one, act two, and act three, and that progression. So that really caused a ton of flipping back and forth. And if I went and grabbed my copy of Heart of Darkness over there and pulled out the book, you'd see probably 15, 16 different yellow or multicolored post-it notes kind of separating the pages. So I hopped into the Free League Unbound here and into my Alien Evolved PDF, and I just did a search for stress. Stress in Free League Unbound, gives me four hits, stress response, stress and panic in space combat, and relieving stress. I do that in the PDF. It gives me 15 pages with three to eight matches, or nine matches, 17 matches per page. So so I was using a combination last time I ran Heart of Darkness. I was using a combination of the PDF and the books, and just hopping back and forth, whatever was quicker. I would have loved to have this tool at the time. It would have been a lot smoother experience.
And this is the thing I want to emphasize, especially to the people that are going to be out there watching or listening to this, right? Yeah. Because again, Free League fans, this is just the initial starting point, because even with what you're talking about there, if you just go to the main Alien hub on Free League Unbound, there's just a giant Omni search there that you can start typing in. And I'm sure that's what you're talking about.
Yep.
And as you do that, it's going to come up with stress. It's going to, we're going to have, more of that rules index essentially like filled out as we go. We're already getting people like, hey, I feel like you're missing this or whatever. And we throw it in there real quick, because, initially, taking all of these books from InDesign, which is what all the publishers out there use, and making them into this format is a very manual process. And we come up with some secret sauce to make that easier for us. Thomas Opper has gotten really good at that. He's very good at that. But still, there's so much manual effort involved in parsing all this information. And so, as we get closer to the fuller launch, like that is going to be so complete. It's going to be just, anything that you're looking for, it's going to be there. And the key here is it's because of the way we parse it. And again, we found this out on DDB and at Demiplane, that we could absolutely make it to where we could have a global search that's going to crawl the books, just like that PDF is doing, and return all of those. Obviously, we can do that. PDFs have done it for decades. But the more useful thing that we have found over just thousands of hours of use testing and everything out there is that if we can parse those rules elements, like everybody in the world always wants to know how grapple works in any game. It doesn't matter what game it is. They want to remember what grapple. So why not just have a literal rules element? We call them elements. That is grappling or grapple or grapple attack or whatever that game is, you know, specifically calling it. And then that way, when somebody starts typing in grappling, instead of them getting those 80 hits in the book and they have to figure that out, why not just boil down to what grappling actually is? Because when you're at the table, that's what you actually want to know. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what these, the rules elements, whether they're talents or actions or, you know, whatever else, that's what that's about. And that's what that, you know, Omni search on these Game Hub pages, you know, allows to happen. And so, yeah, you should be able to just sit there while you're playing on the Alien Hub, start typing in something comes up. And by the way, if anybody's out there trying that out in early access right now, and you search for something during your game and it doesn't come up in there, hit us in Discord and we'll be like, hey, yeah, that should be in there. And, you know, we will continually add, you know, all those things again to highlight that convenience and make things as convenient as possible. One other thing about PDFs though, too. And again, PDFs are great. Like they've served us well for the last few decades. They just don't work on phones. And so it's like, this is able to come all the way down to a phone. It's not the ideal experience. You know, to me, nothing on a phone is, but it looks really damn good on a phone even. And so you can go down through there and read and look at those key terms, those tool tips and everything, pop that out. So it's a really great experience if you're in line at the supermarket and you just have a thought for your next character that you want to look up a talent real quick, right? You can find that really, really quickly.
So right now you have the library compendium, and you can also bring in PDFs that you've purchased from Free League. So it's a separate thing.
Yeah.
You've got the shop in there. You've got a forum where people can talk about everything.
Yeah, and that goes to the Free League forums. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a Free League forum. Okay, yep. Good. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask about that. So, what's next? So character tools. Talk about character tools.
Yeah, character tools. So that's the piece de resistance, right? Like that's the thing. So at DDB, I was a little shocked by this. So again, some inside baseball there. DDB was intended originally just to be character tools. So that's what we pitched as. That's what we were going to do. All of the other elements of what became DDB came in about a month before we went into beta, because Wizards of the Coast, we were trying to get pricing confirmed, and Wizards of the Coast was trying to equalize the ecosystem between Roll20, Fantasy Grounds, and DDB. And they basically said, all of you have to charge the same thing. Well, then we said, well, wait a minute. If we're not even providing the book, how can we possibly charge the same amount for a book? Basically they wouldn't budge on that. And it was at that point in time that I said, okay, if they will not budge on the price, we're not going to try to pawn this off on people as like you're paying the same price. I'm going to make it to where you at least get the book digitally. And then we do these listings, this compendium where you can find spells or, you know, whatever it was. Right. And so all of that came about. It ended up becoming a very popular feature because people love having that on their phone and everything else. But once character tools, even for DDB, were introduced, if you look at any engagement metric, whether it's page views, visit, you know, any of those kind of things, the digital reader and the game compendium took up about 25 to 30% of it. Character tools were 70 to 75%. So that is what people are really drawn to with this. And so this is part of the reason in early access that we really want to pump the brakes. This has been a super soft launch. We knew that even announcing at Gen Con, it was going to get lost in the shuffle to a degree. And honestly, that was intentional because we don't want people coming in off the street just assuming this is what Free League Unbound is going to be, because it is a very small piece of what this is ultimately going to be, right? So the character tools are the biggest piece of that. And it's going to be a character builder, but then it's going to be this digital character sheet. It's going to allow you to roll digitally, you know, on that sheet. And yeah, we're going to have fun dice and, you know, all those kind of things. Honestly, I was surprised at how much I ended up liking digital dice. Like, there is something kind of fun about that, especially when the dice don't even have to look like real ones, right? And so they're like all these things that are going to come on very soon, whether it's right when the character tools come out or very close after. We're going to have a shared rolling. So that's something that didn't come to DDB for 5 years or something. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, the other people in your group are going to be able to see your rolls, you know, right off the bat. All of those things are going to be in place. One of the key things that's going to be different about character tools, and one of the reasons we're calling this character tools, like just kind of together like that, instead of saying character builder, mm-hmm. character sheet, because one of the chief complaints I got at DDB in the early days, and it's kind of one of those things where, well, hell, I can't do anything about it now. Like, you know, when this complaint started coming up, I was like, there's no way that we can re-engineer this in a way where we can solve this problem. But I used to get GMs come up to me all the time at conventions, particularly because people get bold at conventions sometimes. But they came in there and they were, you know, lots of them were coming in hot at me, you know, and they're like, hey, the character builder makes building a character too easy. And I'm like, is that a bad thing? And they're like, yeah, actually it is, because then when one of my, you know, I'm introducing a new player, they come in and build a character. They all of a sudden then get taken to a character sheet that they have no context for. They don't know what it is. Like, they don't know where anything is. They're disconnected experiences. Okay. Right. Then ended up getting that complaint all the way through Demiplug, like all these years. With this, we're taking a different approach. And so, you know, ultimately, especially when you're on like a laptop or a desktop computer where you have a little more screen real estate, when you create a character, it's going to take you to the character sheet, just like if you're using paper, but then it's going to have a sidebar with the steps. So all the free league games have the very clear steps of character creation. So you're going to be able to essentially build from this sidebar is the builder, but it's integrated into the sheet where you can see, like if you're in a section talking about your heroic culture for the One Ring or your archetype for Invincible or whatever, you're going to be able to see where that shows up on your sheet in real time. So like as you pick it, it's going to come in there. So it's going to help reinforce. And I've done a lot of testing with this kind of stuff, you know, with people. And it really seems to do the trick of reinforcing, especially for new players, like what's going on. Also, it has the benefit for veteran players that you can just get into the action quicker. Like you don't have to go between one tool and go all the way to another tool. So I think it really is a win-win situation. That's what we're always looking for. So we're really excited about that. The system that we have coming for character tools. One of the things, everybody knows this, if you have anything to do with playing free league games, step dice versus pool, right. You know, the just always the arguments between them. One of the things that we're doing with character tools that's really important that has not been possible at DDB or Demiplane is the system that we're building is actually going to allow mods to exist, which honestly, when Opper was telling me about this, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not possible, you know? But he's pulled it off. Like, it is really interesting, like that, like you're going to be able, there are going to be community developers out there that will be able to make things. So again, we probably will provide some official mods that like let you convert a game to step dice if you want to use that instead of pool or whatever. Okay. And again, that's pretty complicated, but it's still something that is absolutely possible with this system that he's built. But then community developers can fill in a lot of blanks. And so very, you know, Foundry is very popular for its ability to mod.
Right.
We are going to have the ability to mod even in a web interface like this. And again, there will be more details about that soon, but it's just going to open things up. It's going to open things up for third-party publishers that are doing things slightly differently, which we absolutely plan to support as well in the future, because the third-party publishers are a hugely important part of the entire ecosystem. Character tools, going to be awesome, going to be a way that you can pull up that character anywhere you go. You're going to be able to do what I call the armory effect. I used to play World of Warcraft all the time, and I spent an embarrassing number of hours just staring at my character in the WoW armory like, you know, the, just a web page that had my character on it, in his fancy shiny armor and pauldrons. You know, the pauldrons were always the really special thing. But like, I'm sitting here just looking at my character, planning my fictional character's future, you know, all these things. We connect to these characters on a level that honestly probably needs to be studied. And so this, these character tools for these games will allow people to have that kind of constant way that they, can, you know, pull up that character and plan that character's future, or, you know, hey, would it work better if I had this talent versus this other talent? You know, all those things are going to be possible.
Getting a little bit deeper into that, so some of the games that we like Twilight 2000s, use a life path system. Are you going to be able to support that?
That life path is not going to be initially when they get there. We are going to kind of use the steps as the, you know, since that's presented as the default for the games that we currently support anyway.
Right.
Life path 100% will be in there though. And by the time we get to Twilight and some of the games that integrated even, you know, more fully, it will be a completely viable option. It will be there. One of the key things, again, that I would love to get across to the fans of this podcast in particular, talking about Free League fans, is this is the value of a dedicated first party digital tool set, because so many of those peripheral things that are in the rules don't get supported at some on some of the other platforms because, hey, I get it. Like, it's a small audience compared to the overall dozens or hundreds of games that they're supporting, right?
Right.
Whereas with this, this is what we are doing. And so we are going to have alien ship sheets and journey sheets for the One Ring and all of the peripheral thing, like anything that you need to play the game and where digital can make that more convenient, we're going to be providing that. And so, yes, life paths, solo play. Initially, of course, it's going to be, hey, you can already I'm hearing from people like that are playing Invincible solo rules because they're available in the core rulebook on Unbound. They're like, oh man, it's already just so much easier because I can just click the little key term and find the table instead of having to flip the pages back and forth to the table. Right. So, you know, that's even some of that is going to be more convenient automatically via the format. But in the future, we have plans to actually do other things. We have some great ideas to make solo play even more viable and feasible, you know, and really bring it to life, I think, is what I'd like to say about that.
Okay. And you already mentioned shared dice rolls. What about things like an encounter builder, campaigns, kind of like what you had in D&D Beyond?
Yeah. Any and all of those kinds of tools. Okay. I mean, I get this question too, you know, people automatically go to VTT. And you know, what I will say about that is, you know, one of the things that made D&D Beyond successful, especially as it debuted with things like Roll20 and Fantasy Grounds out there, who were already covering some of the VTT needs, you know, really strongly. There was no need to go and just try to make a VTT. We went and instead shored up some of the gaps that VTTs weren't doing incredibly effectively. One of those, the chief among those, character management, right? And so we're taking a similar approach here. We've got a big roadmap. We're going to be doing, making, filling those gaps as strongly as possible. And again, when I say that for Free League games, it's going to be all the peripheral things like life paths and ship sheets and all those things, right? So we're going to be covering those things. But I can't really foresee a future where we wouldn't eventually, you know, as long as people use it and we're still operating, you know, I imagine we will incorporate some VTT elements. But if you love Foundry, because Foundry does some really great work, there's some really good Foundry modules for Free League games. You know, any of that is still going to be very possible. We're going to be providing integrations. So create a character in Unbound and you can easily get it over into Foundry, other things like that. So so all of that, those are no brainer activities and no regret activities for us. So we're absolutely going to provide that kind of stuff.
I wasn't going to ask you about VTT directly. I was going to ask you about, because we used Roll20 with Beyond 20, the Chrome extension.
Yeah.
So that's that integration piece with either with APIs and Chrome extensions, that kind of thing. That so that was when we first started playing online, being old folks, that made things a lot easier for us because again, didn't love the character building experience in Roll20.
Yeah.
It was super easy in D&D Beyond, so it's very easy to just like create my encounters in there and then hook up with that yep. Chrome extension, and that worked great. So if you can do the same thing with Foundry. That's
definitely, yeah, and yeah. Not at all saying that wouldn't be off the table for Roll20 or any others, yeah, right? Yeah, but you right. know, we're gonna keep a finger on the pulse of mm-hmm. of what the community you know is using out there and what they are asking for. And so all of those things are possible. I think one of the best things that is coming of this is, you know, at the end of the day, it's me and, you know, Thomas Opper, you know, partner in this. We have been around the block on this stuff quite a bit. We don't have corporate, you know, obstacles in our way anymore. Mm. And ultimately we have already proven in 4 months that it's like, hey, if we want to make something, if we want to make a decision that is ultimately better, you know, for the tool set and for fans out there, we're just going to go do it. And we don't have to, you know, fill out documents in triplicate to make sure that, you know, all the stakeholders are happy about it.
Right.
We're able to just, you know, kind of rock and roll. And so we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds great to me because I know how things can
yeah.
bog down when you have to get everything yeah. signed off. So other little questions I've got from the community. Will there be actually, I'm going to step back to one of mine. You mentioned already third party content creators and kind of home developers, home brewing stuff. Is that something that they're going to be able to sell through this platform if they create?
Eventually, yes. Fully planned. D&D Beyond, I had worked so hard to get third party content on D&D Beyond mm-hmm. in the early like year two. It was my big mission. We got to a point where Wizards of the Coast had verbally approved it and everything. And then they changed leadership. And then the leadership just came in and just killed it. Now, again, later I found out because the leadership was wanting to, you know, drive down the cost of DDB to buy it for less, you know, or right. whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Fun
but,
stuff, yeah.
But yeah, all that corporate America stuff. But third party was always, you know, planned for DDB. Once they finally did it, so they did it a few years after that, you know, mm-hmm. well after I was gone, it has been wildly successful for them. But it's also been very good for the third-party publishers to have that okay. platform, right? And so so we 1,000%. Now, again, I can't talk about the wins and the exact yeah, hows or anything like that.
Looking,
but we are definitely planning for that to exist mm-hmm. and for people to be able to generate income through that, yes.
Okay. And for your GMs, will content sharing be possible?
Yeah, yes. There's no scenario where that wouldn't be the case. Mm-hmm. It is going to be in before we are fully launched, so before we exit early access.
Okay.
And then, I actually have a meeting where we're just completely 100% tying down a few of these details with Free League here in just a couple of days. But I can't 1,000% confirm what, but I will generally say that the way that content sharing or subscription, because people have asked about that, all of that is going to operate similarly from a feature standpoint to what people are going to be used to seeing with DDB, Demiplane, any of these other right. places. I got something the other day where somebody was posting at me. And again, you know, we live in a very disconnected online environment, so I get why this happens. But somebody's like, hey, did this take inspiration from Demiplane? It looks like it's strongly inspired. And I'm like, well, since I made DDB and Demiplane, that would track. Sure. Right. It's one of these things. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Content yeah. sharing itself is a phenomenal thing. And it absolutely is the way that this stuff should work. Even things like previously purchased content credit. I started that at DDB because it's like, if you're trying to work towards a legendary bundle, you buy two of the five books, you should absolutely get credit for those other two books that you've already bought when you're trying to do that. So, you know, all of those kind of things, the things that work, we are doing everything we can to keep. Content sharing is one of those. But I will say that pending complete details that are going to come out there, it is ultimately going to be better from a customer point of view than any of the other offerings out there. Like we, I've seen some things that rub me the wrong way with the way that some of that works. And so, you know, the overall free versus subscription or anything else like that, I am telling you that objectively on paper, what we're going to be doing is better from a customer perspective than anything else that's out there. And ultimately it's the kind of thing that you are absolutely going to be able to play by unlocking content and not having a subscription. You will absolutely be able to do that. It's just, if you are someone who is super user that is wanting to play in 30 different games or whatever, then a subscription is probably going to make sense at some point. But there's going to be a great deal that you're going to be able to do for free, more so than some of the other similar offerings that are
out. Okay. It's like you're reading my notes. Did you hack me or something?
Yeah, no, I just get so many questions all the time that I can imagine what they are. Yeah.
So. All right. I'll try to like telegraph less. But yeah, so I guess one of the big questions you've seen like a million times too, and you probably already know what I'm going to say is, how do I get my PDFs that I bought already?
Yeah. And this is a good one. I saw somebody, because again, I love our online environment, and that's one thing that everybody's going to discover, you know, in this community about me. I think anybody who's been hanging around talking about Invincible knows this. Like, I am highly active. I answer rules questions. And one of the things is I just believe in treating people with respect. But at the same time, I'm going to say like what something is. Like, I'm not going to, you know, shy away from some of that engagement. And so I think that, one of the people early on posted like, this is a complete PR disaster that you have not shared, how this works with PDFs and everything. And I was like, whoa, like, this is literally early access. We did this as softly as we could. We just needed some people kicking the tires for a little bit before we did a full launch. I was like, just because like we absolutely planned those communications. But honestly, the way that we expected this to work was that people would not need their PDFs in the short term because they already probably have their PDFs on their hard drives. Right. And so it's like, we did not imagine that would be like that big of a draw. But like, yes, of course you can unlock your PDFs over here. And ultimately, the benefit of that is having all your stuff in one place. That's great. And we're going to support that. And obviously we are supporting that, but like from a communication perspective, what we were going to do was, a little closer to launch, we're going to send everybody, because Free League has their whole customer list, we're going to send everybody on that customer list a one-time code where they don't have to go through the hassle of screenshotting their proof of ownership and all that. And you can take that code and put that in one time, and all the PDFs that Free League has on record for you will be on. So that is, so telling everybody who's listening to this, that is 100% going to happen. And then worst case, if you bought things under three different emails, you're going to get three codes to three different emails, but you can still enter the codes on your one Unbound account, and you'll get all those unlocked. And then if something's missing after that, submit a support ticket. We will get you taken care of with the proof. But what we discovered was, oh, wait a minute. Like, hey, we're not going to discourage this activity. People are curious and interested in the platform. By all means, we will go through a great deal of manual effort and get your PDFs unlocked on the platform in the meantime. And so, yes, we get lots of support tickets every day for that. I work through them normally before I go to bed at night, you know, but like, yeah, we're going to take care of you. But it was just like, this is a PR disaster. I'm like, wow, I just don't even know where we're at that point yet. Like, 'cause we haven't even launched, but yes, PDFs, we will take care of you. Very importantly, because there is obviously, misconceptions about this out there. The PDFs are going to be there. You can download them. Some people prefer the interface over drive-through or whatever. So you will have your PDFs there. You can keep it all in one place. The digital tools portion, the Unbound version, is a separate purchase. Yep. So no, you're like, and this is the thing. So wait, the things I have already bought are not getting unlocked on Unbound. No, the things you've already bought absolutely will be unlocked on Unbound. You have not bought these digital tools before, because trust me, a great deal of effort is going into these digital tools. Yeah. And they are a new offering that have a cost associated with them. We've done the best that we can. And Free League has been wonderful to work with. It was, other publishers have not been a walk in the park with this. Free League has been really great at pricing these in a way where they feel more like their add-on status that they really are intended to be, right? So the price, especially during the early access, really, really low for these digital tools compared to similar offerings out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we're really committed to, but they are, you know, a separate purchase. You know, if I was working at a firm doing software development like this, my rates would be far higher than what is happening here, right? So I think that that's the thing. And again, I really think that a lot of people sent much more of this happened when DDB first came onto the scene I'm not rebuying my books.
Right.
And I spent many Reddit subreddit threads explaining how that's not what was happening. I think in today's world, I see that just dramatically less. And so I think most people intuitively know that it's like, okay, wait a minute, this is something different. The first time that people use it, they see how useful it is, and that's why people end up buying it, because it provides that convenience for them. So I do think that those kind of things over time get very smoothed out. Either way, the things that you have bought, your PDFs, absolutely, if you need to re-download those or whatever, they are going to be available on Unbound, and you can have all your Free League stuff in one place going forward.
Change is hard, especially if they're coming, if they haven't done D&D Beyond or Demi Plane or some of the other ones before. It may be like a new thing, but I think you're right. There's probably a lot of folks have at least dabbled with it. And having this for Free League, and they're, it's a huge undertaking, because you're talking about so many different properties that they have.
Yeah. You know, but I'm so excited about that. Yeah. Like, my introduction to Free League games was Tales from the Loop. At the time, and honestly, it's still at least in the top five, but at the time it was the most beautiful TTRPG book I'd ever seen, right? Just the artwork, but the layout, everything was so crisp and clean, just beautiful, gorgeous. And honestly, I think that Coriolis, The Great Dark, kind of gives it a run for its money at this point. But I'm partial to the Invincible, design,
because
it just feels like the comics, you know. But Free League just does such a great job with that. I cannot wait to sink my teeth into Dragonbane. I love Dragonbane. I cannot wait for Dragon. And I can tell you, Dragonbane is on the very, very short list. I can't confirm exactly, but Dragonbane is coming. I'm kind of there too. Like, I love Dragonbane. Dragonbane is going to be their Vaisen. All these games have so much personality, and again, they have a vibe to them, and I can't wait to just dig into that and you know, bring those to life in this digital form. It really is just, that is the most fun I have in the job, is being able to bring that stuff to life. Because, as you said, if you go to the Invincible Hub or the Coriolis Hub, like, it all is intended to really make you feel like that game. So we're going to do that for, Twilight and, all the things going forward. Again, as I've said before, and I do have to caveat here just to say all active games in the catalog. And the only reason I even say that is because if Free League pumps the brakes and says, hey, like, no, we're just completely decommissioning that version of that game or whatever, then we haven't talked all the way through the entire catalog, is all I'm saying. But the intent with Free League and with us developing is that we're going to have, the entire catalog of the games, available out there. After we get a rep or two under our belts with the character tools, those things are going to start moving, because again, we're building a system here that is intended to be flexible enough to handle all of these various flavors of Year Zero and other games that aren't even Year Zero, right? So we're going to get, across that entire catalog.
So, do you have any anything that you can reveal about what's next?
Title-wise, like I said, it's all going to be a matter of, we're going to have to strike a balance here. We're still talking about this, even with Free League, of striking a balance of making sure people understand that it's going to have the broader catalog, that full catalog, but then also making sure that the four games that we've started with, we are showing clear progress on feature development, right?
Okay.
And again, we are very much so doing these things in parallel. So I can't tell you a lot about what the future holds here today, but what I can tell you is when you might know that. So before the end of this year, I expect we will see introducing another game or two before the end of this year into early access. And that's likely how they will start, which, also has the benefit of, again, helping us work out some kinks in the content, because the digital reader is step one. We've got to get the content digitized. The game compendium starts parsing that information into the molecular chunks that we need for the builder. So all of that's a stair step, right? And so it allows us to make sure the content's in a really great place before it gets into the character tools. Mm-hmm. But it also gives the user benefit of a really reduced price for an introductory period, right? So we kind of like how that's been working so far. So I expect you will very much know what the next, two or three games are, at least before the end of this year. Mm-hmm. And then you will absolutely be able to build some characters before the end of this year in at least one game and probably two. So that's kind of the cadence that you can start expecting. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds great. I think we've gone through all my questions, my itching, burning questions, and a lot of from the from Discord and other places. So
yeah, sounds good.
Are there anything that we didn't cover that you think we should know
about? That's always my favorite question at the end of these interviews. I mean, it's a question you should absolutely be asking.
Yeah.
But with me, as you probably could tell, I ended up, piggybacking on a question and answering another question. So most of the time when we get here, I've revealed everything that I can or want to reveal. I think the other thing is I hope that it does come through and I know that, even talking with me is a ridiculous exercise sometimes, but I am very excited about this and I am very passionate and I am more excited about, working on this than I have been since those early, early days of DDB when things were just fresh and new and everything was this green field. And I think a lot of that is because my tastes have changed so much over the last decade and the kinds of games that I love. Free League has easily risen to the top of that. And so being able, this is the kind of thing that even in early DDB days, when I started getting introduced to Free League games, this is really, even at that point in time, my shower thoughts were about what would this look like for Free League games, right? And so we're now, coming full circle, able to do this for Free League. I'm terribly excited about it. And so, the other thing that I would say out there is that, as passionate as I am about this, I am a fan and I play these games. And so, I could be doing a lot of different things. This is what I want to do. And this is what I'm choosing to do because I have seen firsthand how much digital, probably more so than anything can get new people to come and play. I think that is just so important for the hobby in general. But I also think that it is important for those of us who maybe have been playing for a very long time. I don't think any of us would say we get to play as often or with as much consistency as we would like. And the more people are coming to the hobby, the more people who are coming and being introduced to the great stuff that Free League is making, the more opportunity we have to have some consistency and frequency in that play. Right. And so I think that, just really broadening the fan base. I have seen that these kinds of tools can be a huge boon in that effort. We want Free League to be very successful, because then they're going to keep making great stuff. So I'm really excited to, help, kind of accentuate that and make that come to fruition.
Well, Adam, that's a great way to wrap up, because I can feel the passion. I can hear the passion. I also am, if you haven't, if you looked at our channel, you can tell that we really love Free League games.
Yeah.
at the AARPGs. So I think this kind of thing is a long time coming. Glad you're able to get this out, and I can't wait to dive in and try it out the next time we get to play one of these games. But
that's great. And for anybody listening, you can find me on social media, but since social media is just imploding in today's world, like, it's just nothing like what it was. Mm-hmm. That's a little more hit or miss, but I definitely hang out in the Year Zero Worlds community Discord, especially that Invincible channel. But if you at me, I'll find you wherever you are.
What's your at again in Discord?
At Bad Eye Adam, or actually on Discord, it's just at Bad Eye. So Bad Eye nickname. I had a cornea transplant when I was in my 20s. So I had to wear an eye patch for a while. And so, the Bad Eye name kind of stuck. I also was huge fan of any character that had like the glowing eye in the comics in the 90s. So Cable and X-Man, I was a huge X-Man fan, Age of Apocalypse, right. All of that. The Bad Eye name stuck. So yeah, Bad Eye is what you'll find me at in there. And we do have a Free League Unbound Discord server that is a fantastic, like, you can speak directly to myself and Mr. Opper, who is co-developing this with me. So we are very available there. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to come ask those questions. If you're in early access and you see some things that don't look right in the content, we want to know about that. So report that in that Discord. We take care of that stuff, really quickly. If for no other reason, I don't like lists. When I see things that need to be taken care of, most of the time I take care of them in the moment where I don't forget about them, right, and where I don't have to put them on a list. So.
that's a good plan. I'll drop links for awesome. Everything in the details. But thanks again, Adam. Glad we could make this work, and look forward to talking again in the future.
Anytime. Thanks, Nathan. Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep.